Win Some, Lose Some is presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right, let's rumble. Premier League yesterday, Chelsea, Brighton draw 3-1. That was 1-1. Canadians plus 280. They beat the Stars. Buffalo was plus 190. Good bounce back, beating Ottawa after blowing a two-goal lead Monday at home against Detroit with 10 minutes left. Ball State from 15 down to 12.5. Lost, but got the money and covered. What happened in these two? Missouri money line plus 260. A seven-point dog at Ole Miss won 78-53. You got to be bleeping me.
Yeah, that was a huge surprise last night because Missouri's had a miserable season, and to beat Ole Miss by 25 was a big surprise. I was probably even a little bit more surprised, even though Kansas State was about, a 10-point dog last night at Texas?
Yes.
Kansas State takes down Chris Beard and the Longhorns in Austin 66-65 with a late comeback in that game. That's a bad loss for the Longhorns.
Yep, and Duke got beat, too. Night of upsets. Duke, that was only 5.5, but they went down.
Duke went down, gave up a layup at the end of regulation to force overtime. Mm-hmm. And how about this? 79-78. Duke's got the ball, inbounding the ball with 10 seconds to go. You think Coach K, the genius, is going to draw something up here, right? I mean, this is why he's a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest of all time. You got to draw something up. You got Paolo Banchero, possible number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
You got a lot of options. Guess what? Duke didn't even run a play. Wendell Moore just dribbled the ball down the floor, dribbled into the lane, threw up a wild shot that got blocked, game over. What are you doing, Coach K? Nothing. He had nothing. Run some sort of play there. You got 10 seconds. They wasted the clock and threw up a shot that got blocked. I did want to mention this from last night.
Alan Boston thinks Coach K's a total zero.
Yeah.
And Alan Boston's been saying for 20 years, look what they failed to run.
They don't run.
He can't drop anything out of a timeout.
He didn't call a timeout. He didn't draw anything up.
But that's why
they had no play. They ran no play at the end of the game last night.
With McDonald's All-Americans, you can't score when it counts.
It was stunning to me. Now, we have this tweet from ESPN Stats and Info last night. I want to read this quickly because I thought this was really interesting. Florida State has now won 13 consecutive overtime games.
What?
Yes.
Get out.
Under Leonard Hamilton. And
well, you gotta be kidding.
No, obviously this goes back
a
few seasons, but think about that.
That's the craziest stat to come. Wow.
I was really surprised by that. I guess we don't have the graphic to throw up there, but Duke went down last night, and Leonard Hamilton wins his 55th game against the top 25 team when he's unranked most by any coach during the AP poll era. Surpassing Bob Knight. So Leonard Hamilton passes Bob Knight in one category, and the Seminoles win their 13th straight overtime game, the longest streak in Division I history last night.
Beautiful. So there you go.
History is made as Coach K and Duke go down.
Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Be a part of everything we do, and for our radio and podcast listeners as well. This is for you, although more audio here. And when Matt broke the news earlier, the French Bulldogs can be a little gassy. But look at this guy. He's ready to go. Rev that engine up. He's a race car. He's a race car in a red. Take it away. Well done. I'm a big fan of these French Bulldogs.
That's a talented Bulldog.
They are great.
Right there.
That is excellent. Good for him. And it goes on and on. He's revved up. Thinks he's a race car. Good. Well, how about this rabbit, speaking about revved up? Look at this guy in the backyard. He's going over and over. Running around in circles over and over, doing the laps. And then, okay, I'm tired. That's enough for me. That's good. Nice backyard, too. Very good. That's excellent. And this was you, me, and Derek Stevens Saturday night. This was waking up. Look at the dog on his birthday. I mean, this guy is in the chair, passed out, still got the hat on. And that's it. Too much Sambuca. That's enough. Can't do it. Oh, man. That's a tough scene. Look at a big guy. Got a front porch on him, too. That is tough. Excellent. Lose some? What happened here? North Carolina was favored in Miami. Lost 85-57. Oh.
That's embarrassing. It really is. Carolina was blown out in the first half of that game. The first score I saw was down, I think, down 30.
Oh.
Tar Heels are too soft. That's an embarrassment to that program. How about Arkansas, South Carolina, the over last night?
No good. 146 up to 151. That was 75-59 in one bad beat. Duke, Florida State, the under. 145.5 goes over in overtime where they combined for, I think it was 23 points in overtime as well.
If you bet North Carolina last night, you got to be a little bit embarrassed by that, I would think.
Yeah, right. Win some, lose some, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Log in, get a 20% live profit boost every day of the Australian Open. Last check, Nadal was up 2-0. Learn more at BetRivers.com. Nigel Seeley with some tennis plays coming up tomorrow. You know, it's a Thursday, so that means Mike Palm. And also Luzon, Lou Finocchiaro. We got a UFC paper for UFC 270. And I can't believe the odds on one of the fight. I'll do that with Adam Hill coming up as well. In Pocket now, presented by Bet Rivers.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're up.
All right. Let's stay hot here. Winner with the Islanders, $1.30. Matt took 4-1 in play. They were down 3-2 with 9 minutes left, scored with 5 minutes left, and then won in a shootout. So I think the Islanders are going to get hot here with a favorable schedule. And I like the Lakers tonight at home, laying 4.5 against the Pacers. Pacers are dreadful on the road. I think they've lost 10 of 11, and they only have 3 road wins the entire year. Also, some guys, key players, could be out tonight, too. The risk you run here being on so early in the morning, especially with the NBA. But what a season LeBron's having, and averaging 29-7-6 on the year, carrying this team. I know they're only 500, but where would they be without this guy? But I think a big win on Monday at home against the Jazz. I think the Lakers win and cover against the Pacers as well. And I'll throw it out there as well. I have a lot of respect. I'm a big fan of Jeannie Buss. You know, we're going to take vacation after the Super Bowl. I have that count. They host the Jazz before the All-Star break. That is a bucket list item for me, to see the Lakers and LeBron James with good seats, mind you. Uh-huh. I know Jeannie Buss will hook me up as we're on. Hello, Lakerland. We love you. SoCal, come visit as well. Great specials here at Circle with the All-In Package. We'll mention tomorrow. But I have that date circled on the calendar if I can get in a Laker game while I'm on vacation.
I hope Jeannie Buss is listening today, or somebody sends us tape to her.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. So there you go. Let's stay hot, Islanders, Lakers. And I bet it and I recommend it. 7-1. Now, I can't get the 12-1 where that was available. So the Cavs to win the Central Division, still 7-1.
Yeah.
Giddy up. Matt poo-pooed that. I think that's a good bet. Now, the people that got...
Oh, it's 20, a three-horse race. It's
sure.
The Bucks,
but
the Bulls,
they're a game
and the Cavs.
Yeah, but they're... actually, the one seed is definitely in play here with Cleveland. Again, if they win tonight, they go over their win total. We're in the middle of January here.
Oh, I know.
Incredible story. And they're favored tonight, and I think they're going to win and cover and go over that. Yeah, and the Bulls are leaking oil right now. What a story with the Cavs.
This could be an important game for your division bet.
Yeah.
Cavs at Bulls tonight.
Yes, right.
All right, last night, quick recap of college hoops. Wisconsin missed 5 straight free throws at the end but managed to hold on to win by 6. That's a winner, Wisconsin -2. Loser with Iowa State last night. Picked the wrong Big 12 dog. I was thinking about playing Oklahoma and played Iowa State instead. And Cyclones went down by 12 in Lubbock last night. So split in college hoops. We talked golf with Indy Jeff. We talked plenty of golf here. I'm not going to explain these plays too much, but
do it again. Make it 3 in a row. Come on.
Try to make it back to back to back.
You're unbelievable.
Scotty Scheffler 20-1. Corey Connors 27-1. Seamus Power at 32. And Abraham Answer, a common play with Indy Jeff Seeley at 35-1. And I'm going to put up my first NFL play of the week.
Ooh.
The South Point has the best line in town. South Point and BetMGM, or it might be WinBet, I think it is, both have gone to 2.5 on the Buccaneers. I didn't think we were going to get the GOAT at less than a field goal this week. Now, I do think the Rams are live dogs.
Yeah.
Buccaneers are beat up on the offensive line. You're talking about Rams defensive line with Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd. The one thing Tom Brady does, gets the ball out of his hands quickly. I think he's going to use his tight ends a lot in the middle of the field in this game. And I'll lay less than a field goal with Tom Brady, who's got 35 career playoff wins, against Matthew Stafford, who's got one. It's basically betting the number here. Bucks minus 2.5. I didn't think we were going to see that number this week, so I laid it.
Yeah.
When the South Point and a couple other spots went to it yesterday.
And how about Johnny Avello? The Chiefs are 1.5.
I didn't think.
How about that number?
I didn't think we would see a price that cheap on the Chiefs this week. I also have an in-pocket bet with Paulie. He gave me the Bills plus 3.5 on Saturday night. That's for a dinner.
Yeah, it varies. You can put a hurt on me there, too. In-pocket presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Check out their daily specials posted after noon Eastern at BetRivers.com. So let's go, Matt, and see if Answer can get there as well. First Bet wants you to get in all the horse racing action. Sign up today with promo code Vegas1000 and receive $10 instantly and up to a $1,000 bonus. VSiN.com/horses for details. Bonus code Vegas1000. Okay, what are we going to get out of Henry? And how many carries, how many plays, and what a season it's been for Vrabel and the Titans. Teresa Walker covers the Titans for the AP. We'll preview Tennessee and Cincinnati and try to help you with some of these props that are already up about what the game plan will be and how much do we expect out of Henry coming up Saturday with the early game. Good matchup. And with the one seed, can the Titans get to the Super Bowl? Adam Hill at the bottom of the hour covers the Raiders with the Harbaugh rumors and the noise. Adam, also a fan of Michigan football as well, and maybe a UFC play. All that straight ahead. We close strong on Follow the Money. Paulie Howard, Matt Eumanns, Mitch out sick the rest of the week. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. They've launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. CityCast in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, L.A., New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and now D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast. I'm looking forward to this. Teresa Walker joins us now. Covers the Titans, Predators, and Grizzlies for the AP at Teresa M. Walker on Twitter to talk about the big game Saturday at home against the Bengals. And we were talking before you came on, Teresa. I mean, what a job Vrabel did here. They lose week one, and were dominated at home by Arizona. They're down two scores at Seattle. They could have started 0-2. They rallied to win that game. And then they lose Henry, and had so many guys out in injuries, and here they are as the one seed.
It is pretty amazing. They used a NFL record, 91 players this season. That's most ever in a non-strike season. And now, obviously, that was allowed because of the unlimited return from IR this year. I mean, I tell you, I have been. It's been tough to keep track of all the guys going on, going off, coming back on. It's been, you know, they've been making roster moves almost every single day of the regular season. That's how busy they were. You know, that front office led by GM John Robinson, and then Mike Vrabel and his staff. Think about this. The biggest example, Wednesday of the week that they beat the Kansas City Chiefs 27-3, they signed Bobby Hart, an offensive lineman off of Buffalo's practice squad on a Wednesday. They signed cornerback Greg Maven that same day. Well, Bobby Hart comes into the game because of injury, pays 42 snaps against the Chiefs. And then, oh yeah, Greg Maven started that game, and they won that game against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, who've gone on their own nice run since then. But that win was in a streak where they beat the Bills, the Colts twice, the Chiefs, the Rams. They went 7-1 against 2020 playoff teams last year. And guys, they've got I think they're 4-0 against the teams that are still alive in this divisional round. You know, they beat the Bills, they beat the Chiefs, they beat the Rams. They put together a rather crazy season. Yes, they had an inexplicable loss to the New York Jets. A reminder that if you start slow and you kick too many field goals in this league and don't score touchdowns, even the team that has no wins can come back to bite you. And then they lost to the Houston Texans when they only had one win at that time. They had five turnovers that day, and Ryan Tannehill had 4 interceptions. So in the rain, it was a tired team at that stretch. Guys, right now, they may be the most rested team in the NFL. They had their bye December 5th, same as the Green Bay Packers, but they played that Thursday night before Christmas weekend, and then they're coming off the bye as the number one seed. I think, and they've won 3 of their last 4 games. It's interesting to watch the way this team and Mike Vrabel has guided this team through this season.
Teresa, that's interesting. Also, I want to kind of recap something you said there. Week 6 through 9, I think the Titans had the most impressive 4-week stretch of any team in the league. They beat the Bills and the Chiefs at home, the Colts and the Rams on the road. Mm. They're the number one seed in the AFC, but nobody is really giving them that type of respect. Is that the sense that the Titans players and coaches also get? They're 12-5. They're the top seed in the AFC, but all the talk is about the Bills-Chiefs game this week and how that's kind of like the AFC championship game.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think the Titans coaches and players mind that much. Now, Titan fans are very upset that they're not getting talked about more
right.
nationally. This team seems to have taken on Mike Vrabel's attitude. It's like, just go out there and win. I don't know. There was a great moment. I think it was in the Saints game where they got the ball back within 2 minutes or so of the first half. And Taylor Lewan was caught by NFL film saying, what's the mentality? And Vrabel's like, go score, go score. And similarly in this situation, it's like, go win, go win. You keep winning at this point of the season, they'll have to pay attention to you at some point. And don't forget, Mike Vrabel won 3 Super Bowl rings as a player. He had this franchise in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago when they had to try to play and win 4 straight games, ran out of steam in that final game in Kansas City. But now they have home field advantage. And he's been making it very clear, guys, we get a week off. We only have to win 2 games to get to where we're wanting to go. So he's got them focused. And, there may be some use of some bulletin board material at some point. But, this is a team that lost in the wild card round last year on their own field to Baltimore. And that memory, I think, is more strong. And in their mind, the knowledge that 1 game and they can be over with. So that's what they seem to be focused on more.
Okay, so what do you expect and what does the organization and the coaching staff expect out of Henry? Will it be rust factor? Is he on a pitch count? Will it be full go? What do you think happens with Henry?
Well, by the time we get to Saturday, it'll be nearly 12 weeks since he broke that right foot. Watching him yesterday in the open period, the media, in some shoulder pads, banging into guys, it's tough, but here's the thing. It's tough not to see that he's probably going to be on a pitch count of sorts. Is it 10 to 15 carries? Is it 8 to 12? Simply having Derrick Henry back out there is going to help. They still managed to finish with the 5th best rushing offense in the NFL because Deontay Foreman had 3 100-yard games in his absence and their commitment to run the ball. So, their offensive line has been pretty, that's been a revolving door across that line. There's only 3 players on the offensive side of the ball who started every game this season. Ryan Tannehill, center Ben Jones, right tackle David Quisenberry. But these last couple weeks, they've gotten some continuity with Taylor Lewan at left tackle, Roger Saffold at left guard. That's their strength when they're running the ball. So if they can open some holes, maybe that buys him a few extra carries. But at this point, he's still on IR, and that's the one roster move of the entire year that we're waiting for that has yet to be made, which is activating Derrick Henry. We are expecting that, when you're coming back off of an injury, anything could happen. They're trying to ramp up his work through the week, which included having him thud into defenders yesterday. We're going to have to wait and see, but I think it's going to be tough to expect a full blow Derrick Henry. The guy he was out for 11 weeks. He started practicing last week, and now you've got this week. It's going to be interesting to see.
Follow the Money. Paulie and Matt Humans, VSiN, Teresa Walker, our guest, covers the Titans for the Associated Press. You wrote about this, and you mentioned Tannehill. How much do you think the experience factor, playoff experience, can help him here and going against a young Cincinnati team and coming off their first win and ending that 31-year drought?
Well, very much so. Tannehill is the guy who's been kind of the glue. He's been almost the unspoken MVP because of his availability. Yes, he's had 14 interceptions during the regular season, but those turnovers by him and the rest of the team really came down. When you look at their wins, they protect the ball. And his ability to run, to throw, he's going to have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown in this game. something mm-hmm. that, you know, he hadn't had much of this whole season. But once that, guys, they've had Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and Julio Jones for about 120 snaps. Giving Tannehill all three of those guys against the Cincinnati defense, that defensive line is missing a couple of guys with Larry Ogunjobi put on IR, and Trey Hendrickson is coming off of a concussion if he's available. Yeah, I know that Joe Burrow is a very confident, and he's been, an amazing record-setting season, but it's a little different. Let's not forget, Cincinnati has lost seven straight playoff games when they've had to hit the road.
Very good. Good info there. I appreciate the time. Good luck on Saturday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Teresa Walker covers everything Nashville for the Associated Press.
I thought you were going to bring up Ja Morant. She wrote a story about
very
him.
Very good, yeah.
And are you buying into the Ja Morant MVP push?
I can't get there because of how well they played when he was out, what you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, you went nine straight.
I know. That's
tough to say you're the MVP.
Yes. What do you think? Curry's plus 160. The favorite, Freak now 3-1, Jokic 6-1 with some of the MVP numbers. But Memphis, I mean, great story, what's going on with Memphis. But I mean, that's difficult because of how well they played when he was out.
I know.
But he's had a hell of a year.
Well, Kevin Durant's going to miss a month. It's going to be tough to bet him.
Yep, he's bye-bye, right?
I still think Stephen Curry is the rightful favorite. Not saying I would bet him at plus 155, but I think right now he's...
He's even at Caesars.
Even money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jazz plus 850 at Caesars, William Hill. Don't forget about Embiid, too, but that comes down to how many games will he play and what's his. But he's 10-1. LeBron's 30-1.
You know, LeBron's putting up MVP numbers. Mm-hmm. He's not even on this DraftKings graphic we've got here. You got 3 months left in the season. Let's say the Lakers make a push. LeBron continues to put up those type of numbers. Is he a bad bet?
Yeah.
30-1?
Yeah, I'll tell you what was interesting. No, he's not a bad bet.
I don't think he's a bad bet either.
No. DeRozan got as low as 20-1 when he had the back-to-back game winners and the Bulls were on fire, but now they've had the losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's back in, you see the 30 and 40-1 range as well. That's interesting with the DraftKings numbers up with the MVP.
So, Teresa Walker, great breakdown there on the Titans.
Maybe a pitch count. Who knows? That's something to watch for the props.
It sounds to me like if you're going to bet the Derrick Henry props, you got to look under. If anything,
yes.
She seemed to indicate he might be a 10 to 15 carries tops.
Wow.
Type of player this weekend.
Surprising
answer.
Is
that what it sounded like to you?
I concur. Yes. The Henry props under, right? Looks like there'll be some kind of a pitch count. Absolutely. What's going on with the Harbaugh business and all the bets on him to be the next coach of the Raiders? We'll bring that up with Adam Hill. He covers the Raiders here. And we'll also get a UFC pick. And Ngannou's a dog? I can't believe it. Straight ahead, VSiN, Follow the Money.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, here we go. Back on Follow the Money. Pauly Howard, Matt Youmans, Mitch out sick the rest of the week. Get to all the NFL games tomorrow. Another great write-up from Steve Mackinnon, Point Spread Weekly. But now we're joined from Adam Hill. This guy does it all. Adam Hill at Adam Hill LVRJ on Twitter covers the Raiders, the Golden Knights, and MMA. And we have a big UFC pay-per-view event coming up this weekend as well. Appreciate the time, sir, but we have to start with the Raiders. What do you think of it? Plus 175 now. Harbaugh at one book to be the next coach of the Raiders. Is this possible? Can this happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly something that has been materializing for a while, that we've started to hear the rumors of, interest from both sides. And I think there's no question there's interest from the Raiders side. I mean, Mark Davis, if there was anybody he was even close to as infatuated with, as John Gruden, it was Jim Harbaugh. It's a guy that he's always liked, that he's always thought was great. He loved what was going on across the Bay when Harbaugh was in San Francisco. And obviously Harbaugh has been with the Raiders before. So I know that there's always been interest from their side. Wasn't sure there would be from the Harbaugh side, but I do think the success that he was able to have this year to finally, get them back into the football playoff and get them back close to the top of the college football world, beat Ohio State, all those things that he wanted to accomplish. Obviously, he wants to do more at Michigan, and I wouldn't be shocked if he stayed at Michigan and just kind of use this flirtation with the NFL to shore up some things contractually and staff-wise up in Michigan. But if he does go to the NFL, I know the Bears would make sense, but I think the Raiders make a ton of sense.
Yeah, Harbaugh's going to be a winner either way. He's going to get a big contract with Michigan, yeah, or he's going to land in Chicago or Las Vegas. I know the Bears, Raiders fans, I think, would welcome that. All right, so if it's not Harbaugh, we're looking at this odds board. How much of a shot do you think Rich Bisaccia has to keep the job? And if it's not Bisaccia or Harbaugh, where do you look next? Could there be a long shot in there?
Yeah, I think there could. Just in terms of Bisaccia, I think, I think that what he did this year was unbelievable. I don't think anybody could have guessed he would have done it. Nobody could have ever expected that the year that the Raiders would have. I mean, one of the most bizarre years in terms of things that were going on and distractions and everything else. But to rally and somehow get them to the playoffs was absolutely incredible. And I don't think you can dismiss that. I thought that maybe he had put himself in a position to at least be a candidate, and he still is. He's still going to have the interview. He's still there for now. But I think with Mayock leaving in particular, it became even less likely that Bisaccia does come back. I would imagine that if you have a GM come in, they're going to be able to at least have a say in who that coach is. Unless they hire Harbaugh right away and the GM's not in place yet, and maybe Harbaugh gets to pick who he wants, and maybe that's part of their offer to him. I'm not sure, but I just feel like that wasn't great news for him. But I think you'd have to take a step back and just applaud the job that he did. A guy that's been an assistant coach for nearly four decades. He's been beloved by just about anybody that he's been in contact with around the league. I thought when they put him in as the interim coach, it was because they didn't think he had a chance at the job, that they didn't want that controversy of, an interim coach that could get the job. I think they wanted to just have somebody that wasn't going to be a candidate. And then he kind of worked his way into being a candidate.
Yes, good points. All fair points. What do you think happens in the Buffalo Kansas City game?
I think it should be a fun game. I think it's probably the de facto AFC Championship game. Although a lot of times when we look at games that way, it doesn't materialize that way. And I think a lot of that is because the players kind of see that same thing. And you could have a letdown the next week, but I do think those are the two best teams in the AFC right now, the way that they're playing. And it should be fun. I don't think it's going to go the way the first game went. I think the Chiefs have a little bit better defense this time. And the Chiefs also turned the ball over four times in that game. And that hasn't really been happening as much lately, although they did give up the defensive score last week. I think that was a perfect storm in that one. The Bills were trying to avenge the playoff game from last year. The Chiefs were really at their low point of the season. I don't expect that same thing to play out.
You have been a vocal Josh Allen critic, you and your buddy JVT. You bash Josh Allen week in, week out. He's off a 5-TD performance. Patriots really laid down. I thought that was a dead dog effort by the Patriots last week. Do you have to see it again from Josh Allen? How do you think he's going to play this week against KC?
Well, I think we see those games from him a lot. I mean, and they've happened more. Like, that was an incredible performance by him. But there's been a lot of games where he just was completely inconsistent. One of the things that I think JVT is kind of in the same boat with Josh Allen is that, he is in a tremendous situation with the number one defense in the league. If you look at, QB help rate in terms of receivers getting open, pass blocking, the defensive efficiency, special teams efficiency around him, he's in the second best position of any quarterback in the entire NFL behind only Jalen Hurts in terms of, help around him. So it's amazing that he's celebrated as like the only player on that team when the team is tremendous around him. It's kind of unfair. But, listen. At the top end, these performances are why he was the number one pick. He's wowed people with some of these. But then on a week-to-week basis, obviously a lot of regression from last season. If you look at any underlying number in terms of a passer, he's still very inconsistent as a passer. But as a runner, very efficient, no question. And as I've said, when he runs right, if he's on the run to the right, he's about the best quarterback I've ever seen. I think if not number one, which I think he's number one, he's got to be in the top three. But you keep him in the pocket, it's not very pretty sometimes.
Okay, UFC 270 Saturday on pay-per-view. I'm a casual fan. You cover the sport. I was shocked that Ngannou is an underdog here. It's going to be probably a big public dog as well. Plus 140 on Ngannou, is that the right price?
Yeah, it's been interesting to see the number kind of move too, and there does seem to be some Ciryl Gane money out there. it's intriguing because Ngannou clearly has the power. And, you know, a lot of times in these heavyweight fights, it's just who lands the first big shot. And if it's Ngannou, it could be lights out.
Mm-hmm.
But Ciryl Gane is a really, really skilled fighter. I mean, this should be a kickboxing bout. There shouldn't be a whole lot of grappling necessarily. But I would favor Gane in that area. But I think just in terms of kickboxing, he's so talented, so fast. Has the power, and, you know, Ngannou is pretty much all power. He's developed his game a little bit, but, I mean, it's just hit somebody hard in the face and watch them fall. Gane has more skills, but I don't think, you know, I don't think it's necessarily fair to write off Ngannou, who's been so good, who's really figured it out. He's hit his stride since he's been at Extreme Couture in Vegas, really kind of settling in there. He's like a part of the family. You know, Eric Nixick is a guy who's the head trainer there, and he's always around him. I think Eric's son would consider Francis his best friend in the world, which is hilarious. It's just such a great relationship that he has, and he's felt so at home there that I think it's, you know, he's on a different level. He's been fighting at a very high level, as you've seen. But Ciryl Gane is a beast. I thought it'd be closer to pick him, but yeah. I think there is starting to be some value maybe here on Ngannou.
Could it go over then the round prop 2.5?
I mean, it could. I don't want any part of it. But they do know each other, by the way. We should get that out there. But they have trained together. They've sparred together. So they know each other's games fairly well, although that was a while ago. Like, I think both fighters have changed significantly since then. But they do know each other's games, and oftentimes that would, you know, lead to, you know, a little bit more chance of going over just because you're a little bit more cautious. You understand what the other guy wants to do. There shouldn't be that, you know, time to try to figure somebody out because, you know, you kind of should know them a little bit. So that plays into it. But I think from a handicapping perspective, you can make the case for maybe the fight going over. But I don't know if you want to be sitting there watching a fight on Saturday night with the amount of power that those two guys have and just hoping beyond hope that nobody strikes somebody in the next 30 seconds. You know, that's a tough watch.
That's what I was thinking when you asked that question. I'm not betting the over. That's going to be a hell of a fight Saturday. Do you have a best bet on that card right now?
I haven't really settled on it yet. I want to watch some of the interviews that they come in Wednesday. A lot of times that'll tell you a lot of what's going on. I do like that other title fight though with Moreno and Figueroa. Figueroa just has such a tough time making this weight, and he's got so much talent, so much power for this division. It's incredible, actually, but he's just so drained to make weight. It's tough, and that it sounds crazy, but the title fights, it's one extra pound, right? You don't get that 1 pound allowance. So you have to get to 125 instead of 126, and he's drained even more in those title fights. So Moreno has he probably should have won the first fight. That was a draw. He definitely dominated in the second fight. He is a pretty significant favorite at this point. I think I saw a 185, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Right now. So I think he wins the fight. It might be a little bit too much delay, but I'm really intrigued by how that fight plays out. And just if Figueiredo makes the weight easily, and that's something to monitor during the week, then I would definitely look at him as an underdog. But that usually doesn't happen at 125.
All right. Adam Hill, Las Vegas Review Journal, covers NFL, UFC, NHL, the Vegas Golden Knights. Do you have a best bet in the NFL this week? Any sides or totals you like right now in the four playoff games?
Man, I do think I'm going to lay it with the Titans. The Bengals are, I mean, I was obviously just in Cincinnati watching that game, and Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, their relationship is so special. I mean, they just know where each other are going to be all the time out on the field, and Chase knows what Burrow wants them to do. I love all that, but they did get really beat up in that game, and I think that was kind of an underrated aspect of the game coming out of it, that it was like every play I saw one of the Bengals' defensive players laying down injured.
Yep.
The card came out a couple of times. It was crazy. So I think they're depleted. I know they're hopeful to get a couple guys back, but I just think they got beat up a little bit by that game, and the Titans have been sitting around waiting, and I think they're ready for this. I don't love the Titans to move on past this week, but I do think this week they should get it done.
Appreciate it, Adam. Thanks for getting up early. Good job.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
All right, Adam Hill. Covers everything Las Vegas for the MMA Knights and the Raiders. This Harbaugh thing's getting juicy. More on the Harbaugh thing and a big Tom Cruise update next.
VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. CityCasts in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, L.A., New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast.
That's a lot of CityCasts. That's eight major cities right there.
That's
hey, who's in the house?
Got that. Bubble Bath Boy's in
bubble
the house.
Bubble Bath Boy, I mean, Randy McKay just showed up.
Mike Palm's in studio tomorrow, and several times over the last three, 4 years. Well, I guess three, because I didn't want to have him in before. I didn't like him after a bad start. I'm like, who is this guy? But he's had me in tears many times with his one-liners, and Mike is so a hilarious guy. But when you told that story about Randy McKay Superfan's birthday bash, and then what did he do for his birthday? And he mentioned
girlfriend
in his 50s.
Put up balloons and streamers. She put up balloons and streamers, and he said they had a nice bubble bath.
Yeah, this guy's he admitted it to his friend.
50-something years old. You can't admit that to your friends, even if you do it. I wouldn't even do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you picture the individual in the bubble bath.
Mike Palm had a great line. He said, was she a home health care nurse?
Yes. Yes. That was under the radar. Great good, line as well. That was good. So good guest today and a lot of great information. So Johnny Avello was on, who runs the sports book at the DraftKings, about it's coming in hot and heavy here with these bets on Harbaugh to be the next coach of the Raiders. And it started last week, but then it picked up yesterday, and now he's plus 175 to be the next coach of the Raiders. Adam Hill said, yes, this could happen. And then a guy who covers Michigan football said he would say right now, if you ask him, better chance he becomes a coach of the Raiders than he's a coach of Michigan football next year.
And then I got a source who's plugged into Michigan football and has been for four decades and knows people there, and he said he gave it a 10% chance the Harbaugh would be with the Raiders. So we'll see. I would not bet it at that number at plus 175. No. 5-2 odds be the best you can find, about plus 250. Well, I would not bet that.
I'm sorry. To what you said earlier, though, to Adam, if there was could be a long shot out there, I think with Mayock getting fired, that spells doom for Bisaccia's chances.
Probably.
At plus 250, I don't think, because the new guy's going to want to bring his own guy.
He's going to want to bring his own guy.
What they'll pitch to Harbaugh, though, too, as Adam said.
I think it kind of opens the thing. Hey, let's put it this way. If you're going to hire Jim Harbaugh, he's going to be the de facto GM. He's going to want control of personnel, right?
Yeah.
So I would think. It'll be interesting to see what Mark Davis does. You know, with the GM position, he's interviewing candidates right now.
Some interesting,
a couple with the Patriots.
And I was looking too, some interesting tweets from the Crosby and Carr family about Harbaugh in the past, about what he's had and hasn't got the job done at Michigan too, which I guess they could smooth it over in no time, but that's some interesting tweets going back as well. And then Teresa Walker was on, who covers the Titans. This is interesting. Well, we still don't have numbers up. We have numbers on Burrow, Mixon, Tannehill, and some wide receiver props. I've yet to find at Bet Rivers and DraftKings and others about props on Henry. I mean, there could be a pitch count here, and maybe not a lot of carries for Henry. And yesterday was the first time that he was taking some hits, was contact in practice. So maybe you want to look under with those Henry props. But that's going to be a tough number to make about what you put up, because even if he gets 10 carries, he could break one off. Brooks in a tough spot there about what you do with Henry Pops.
Derrick Henry has not played in, 12 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time was week 8 against the Colts.
Was week 8, guys? Thank you. Week 8. Week 8 Colts, yes. Good job.
So, and the Titans have had a really effective rushing attack without Derrick Henry, as Teresa Walker talked about. I don't think you need him to carry the ball 20 or 25 times. I would project right now, Paul, just something around 12 carries for 70 yards. I don't know. Those would be my guesses right now based on what she said.
Yeah, and we said it earlier. He's $1.90. Yes, 190 to score a touchdown in the game Saturday. The wide receiver props, Brown 74.5, Chase 78.5, Julio 38.5. You made the case during the break he's the most overrated player in the NFL. Might be right.
I said that 2 years ago, too.
Yeah.
So
never healthy.
Can't score touchdowns. Not too many people rate him that highly now.
Yeah.
But even when the Titans picked him up last year, fans get excited about that. I don't think Julio Jones moves the needle anymore.
Yep. Higgins is 64.5 and Boyd is 45.5. Longest reception, A.J. Brown, 24.5. Julio's 18.5. But that great prop they have up at DraftKings, will Julio, Brown, Chase, and Higgins at least have 50 yards receiving?
All four.
Yes, it's 5-1. But the guy who would let you
pretty
down
good
there.
Good chance of three of the four
right?
are going to get there.
Yeah, that Julio would be the guy that would let you down. And then the passing props, the yardage, Burrow's in the 270s and Tannehill as low as 230. And that's 3.5 in total of 47. The Tom Cruise business. I mean, it's a big year for Tom Cruise. So you're not a fan because we had the raid for Jack Reacher earlier. So Top Gun 2 comes out in May. And then Mission Impossible 7 comes out at the end of the year. And then Mission Impossible 8 is in 2023. So what a big year it is for Cruise. You're not a fan of him as an action hero star because of the height. And he plays big, though, Matt. But his height, but also the knock, and 59 years old. That's another one. But I'll tell you, and you missed out. I went in 2018 was Fallout, the last Mission Impossible. It was so good, I went back the next day. It was so good.
What?
It was that,
come
Matt.
On.
Come on. What are you doing with Quick to Dismiss? You can't. I'm in the business. I was in Ocean's 11. It was an unbelievable movie, Matt.
You're in
I went
business.
Back the next day. Unbelievable movie, Mission Impossible, the last one. Hit it out of the park.
Ocean's 11. What, you were working a hot dog stand behind Julia Roberts, weren't you?
Holding a cherry Coke. Come on.
Okay.
Filmed a scene with George Clooney on the cutting room floor. And I hope to sit near Tom Cruise when I go to that Laker game. And Jeannie Buss going to hook me up with great seats.
You tower over him because
go,
he's like 5 foot 2.
Sure.
5 foot 2 action hero.
But certainly, Fallout was in 2018. And then I guess they filmed these suckers back to back with Mission Impossible 7.
What year was Top Gun? Top Gun like 1988?
Oh, God.
How many years ago was Top Gun?
Yeah, good call. Let me look.
That was not a bad
movie. 1986!
Was it?
What was that, guys? It's worth $600 million? Wow.
I don't know.
Top Gun came out in 86, the same year as Color of Money. What a run this guy had.
Color of Money was actually a good movie.
Risky Business in 83.
Risky Business was a good movie.
But yep, All the Right Moves.
How about?
Top Gun, Color of Money.
Well, back
Cocktail.
Then.
Hold on. Cocktail. Rain
Man.
I had a crush on Elizabeth.
All the Right Moves was a good movie.
Yep.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
Football player.
Cocktail, Rain Man, Born on the 4th of July, Days of Thunder, A Few Good Men, The Firm. Bam! All right in a row. Mission Impossible, and then Jerry Maguire in 96.
I could do without those.
What, you didn't like them?
No.
You didn't even like the original Mission Impossible?
I didn't watch it. Why would I watch that? All special effects. And,
oh, come on.
Huh?
Come on, Matt.
A miniature, amateur, the miniature action hero? No, thanks.
Good. Okay, excellent. What are you thinking tonight, then? Not much on the college hoops card. It's not a great card.
No, I looked at Texas A&M.
It's a stacked NBA card, though.
I'm considering Texas A&M as a home dog to Kentucky, catching 7.5 or 8 in that game, but I haven't pulled the trigger. I don't really like the college hoops card tonight. I can guarantee you. The Thursday, I'm going to have at least 2 college basketball plays because I looked ahead at the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a couple spots I'm going to hit. But the only NFL plays I've made so far for this week, Buccaneers laid 2.5 when that number dropped at the South Point. And it's also, there's a couple other spots where you can, I think WinBet might be one if you have access to that. But the South Point here in Vegas went to 2.5 yesterday. Jimmy Vaccaro tweeted that out. So I played the Bucs at less than 3. And I did lay 5.5 with the Packers just in case Jimmy G does not start. I can always get out of the bet later,
folks,
if I want to, but if Jimmy G does not play in that game, that number is going to shoot past 8, 8.5, who knows?
And Avello thinks it's 9. Keep an eye on that the next couple days. Keep an eye on that today. Who knows? It's internet's conjecture, but it's getting some interesting reports coming out of San Francisco that it could be Lance time. That is something to keep an eye on, and let's lose some. You just poo-pooed Tom Cruise's resume. I mean, that stretch that he had from 86 going up, I mean, what a resume that guy had. Blockbuster after blockbuster, my God.
Last movie I saw with Cruise was Eyes Wide Shut. Did you ever see that?
Oh, yes, I did.
That was a pretty
good
movie.
Kooky movie.
That was
not bad. Interesting music in there, too. But I like the Lakers tonight in the NBA. I like the Cavs and a loaded NBA card as well and a stack card. I think the Lakers get it done. They win. And cover. You got the French Bulldog? We learned a lot about French Bulldogs today, too.
Yeah.
The Doug Kazarian party. You got our boy Blue. Is he sharing the snack there as well? Here he is. I'm a big fan of these French Bulldogs. Look at Blue. Got the sound up. I mean, he really gets into it. He was born deaf. spits it out there. Holds it like a human. And, yeah, sure. A little snack.
Is that a breadstick?
Yeah, or some type of bread. I don't know. Yeah, maybe a hot dog. Who knows? Look at the big fella. Oh, they stole it. He swiped a snack from him. Bad beat. Very good. Back tomorrow. Loaded card. UFC with Lou Finocchiaro. Mike Palm in studio. Big show coming up tomorrow. And Ira Kaufman to talk about the Buccaneers-Rams matchup.
The Bet River Sport. The Bet River Sport. The Bet River Sport.